Because you said 7 years ago, this is obviously an evolved version.
Yeah, so this is evolved. So basically, like, I had been really interested in, like, future cities because I found this guy, Jock Fresco, who designed these, like, robotic cities.
Right.
And so, like, what's one part of the city? Like, there's the food growing machines, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I want to work
at self-sustaining buildings.
Right, you have to have it all self-sustaining, right? So I was like, oh, I want to work on that. And then, like, when I met, like, my business partner, I was talking to him before we even started working together, told him about these ideas, and he was like, hey, why don't we start by building, like, a farm in a box? They had an MIT open source project that gave you the blueprints. So we got the blueprints. We got into a pitch competition, and we're like, we're going to make a fancy pitch deck, and we're going to build this farm in a box, and then we're going to win. And so we won.
What?
That gave us money, and then we started to, like, really figure out, okay, how can we make something that people will actually buy?
How good did that feel?
To win the competition?
Yeah. Welcome back to Smack to Us. Here with Mita, host, because Dimitri's gone. Max from Dope SEO. And I'm here with Alex, which is going to be really easy for me to remember because that's also my brother's name. Now, Alex has Neuravine. And Neuravine, you're going to see this behind all these videos. We've been really curious about what Neuravine is. And Alex is here to tell us, well, also, you know, who are you? What do you do? And then, what is this time machine behind me?
Yeah, so I'm Alex, the founder and CEO of Neuravine, and this is a time machine, like you were wondering.
No, is it just, really? Oh, okay. No, I was like, dude, let's go. Yeah.
I mean, it could be anything. It's funny because, like, we sometimes like to say it's like the anything machine because it's like it's an automation system.
Okay,
it has like sensors, and we call it actuators.
So it's a transmogrifier.
What's like?
If you're a Calvin and Hobbes fan, like,
yeah, it could be. It could be, you know, because you could just feed the pump back into itself. And, you know, but really, what is this thing? So if you have an indoor farm, you obviously need to water your plants.
Okay.
You need to feed them.
Yes.
And so this is, we call it like fertigation, like fertilizer and irrigation. So it's like a fertigation system.
Together.
Yeah.
Through this machine.
Yeah. It's like a pseudo real word. So fertigation.
Because you have to aerate soil and.
Yeah. You have to water it. You have to add the nutrients.
Right.
You know.
All right. Okay, so I'm a really terrible farmer, too.
Oh, okay,
I tried it. I don't grow things very well. It may also be where I live, but I spent a lot of time. And this looks almost like a hydroponic machine.
Yeah.
But it also looks way more advanced than that. So if I was, and you're saying this is just for cultivators, right?
I mean, like, you could use it for strange things, like a peanut butter dispenser, but, like,
really?
Typically it's used for growing, for adding nutrients.
I guess it could be a
Because, like, you have these pumps, so you could have, like, you could push a button, oh, like, make me a peanut butter, like, give me, like, 50 grams of peanut butter or something, you know, if you wanted to do that.
No way.
Well, I mean, you could. Like,
oh, okay.
I mean, it's just a dispenser, right? Like, these pumps are connected to these solutions, so they can dispense
solutions.
So then
it pumps it up. I think peanut butter would be really thick through those.
It would be thick, you're right. It'd be a lot. I think it would be... not optimal.
So I think like nutrients and vitamins for plants.
Yeah, I mean that's the best use case for them.
Okay.
The more viscous the better, but we can work with like
thick like
but we can like work with some like you know like silica, some things that are a little bit more viscous. Like the pumps can actually handle.
So this is an unbelievably versatile machine that you can kind of customize.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you come up with this? So me and my business partner, we founded our company 7 years ago. We met at City College of New York and had like a startup incubator, and we had our initial idea, which evolved into this over.
What was the initial idea?
Well, I guess the initial idea, like before.
I'm just curious how this evolved because you said 7 years ago, this is obviously an evolved version.
Yeah, so this has evolved. So basically, like I had been really interested in like future cities because I found this guy, Jock Fresco, who designed these like robotic cities.
Right.
And so, like, what's one part of the city? Like, there's the food growing machines, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I want to work
at self-sustaining buildings.
Right. You have to have it all self-sustaining, right? So I was like, oh, I want to work on that. And then, like, when I met, like, my business partner, I was talking to him before we even started working together, told him about these ideas. And he was like, hey, why don't we start by building, like, a farm in a box? They had an MIT open source project that gave you the blueprints. So we got the blueprints. We got into a pitch competition, and we're like, we're going to make a fancy pitch deck, and we're going to build this farm in a box, and then we're going to win. And so we won.
What?
That gave us money, and then we started to, like, really figure out, okay, how can we make something that people will actually buy?
How good did that feel?
To win the competition?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
I was going to say, like, because you obviously, like, do you feel like that competition, like, helped launch everything else? Like,
everything has been, like, a series, sequence of competitions. So it's like, oh, I had to, like, you know, I won one competition and it got me some money, and then I had the money to use something to do something else. You know, I've gotten different grants, and like I've gotten them from like the NSF, the National Science Foundation, to do like customer discovery.
Really?
Where like they pay you to like travel to a weed farm in, you know, Washington State or something
and
like that.
And just what, see how it all operates and how to make it better? Or just...
Yeah. Well, so kind of like, so like the NSF thing, like National Science Foundation, a lot of people are doing research in labs, right? So like a lot of times they have like an idea of something they think could be useful, but they're not like, they're not sure. They're not like used to like talking to people. So like they have this program that's designed for like engineers and scientists to like push you out of your comfort zone and get out in front of people and be like, yo, is this a good idea or not?
Because awesome.
Some people might realize, hey, we've been working on this for so long. And in this past summer, realized that no one wants this. So we should figure out what to do else, which is great, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, because otherwise you're creating stuff that nobody
Ever you'll find out at some point, right? So it's better to find out sooner than later.
How do you, like, do they get like a source group of people for that? Or like, is it like market research where it's like, hey, somebody's developing this, would it be helpful?
We like actually the way we have to
I'm curious where the focus group comes in.
So yeah, I guess we're not in like a focus group would be like when you have a whole business and like you're already thinking about releasing a product. But I guess like what this is about is like you're actually seeing what's the problem. Like you're not going, hey, I have this product, will it work for you? It's like, what is your problem?
Right.
Like,
let me figure out a solution.
Is what my solution is going to solve that or not? And are you going to pay for it? You know, how much is it worth it to you? So you may find that, you know, either your problem doesn't exist or maybe you'll find a different problem that you didn't even know of. Someone's like, I'll pay $1 million if someone could do X. Maybe you could have done that.
Right.
Or maybe you can change. So
we
didn't really change that much because we had kind of the idea for this. And then we just kind of went into the market and just validated it more and really understood it more on a deeper level, what people wanted.
Okay. So this isn't just for cannabis. This is for anybody growing anything anywhere, really.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, like, if you were here in New York City and you wanted to have, like, a rooftop garden, this could help regulate it because, obviously, I feel like there's some interesting things you have to deal with a rooftop
garden. I mean, so say, like, in a roof, like, there's a...
But also, like, different arid climates. Like, if you were in the New Mexico versus, like, Vermont, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. It's like a part of like indoor farming, right? Like obviously indoor farming, you are controlling the environment, but you obviously have to deal with the outside environment. So like it's easier to like cool in
a
cool area.
You can't use this for outside?
So no, it's not like weatherproof. So if you did want to use it for outside,
it's a computer.
So say you had like a shed or like a building,
you had a shed to put the machine in, like the overlord of your farm.
Yeah.
Because this is AI, right?
I mean, it depends on what your definition of AI is.
It's intelligent?
It's not machine learning.
Okay.
It's not deep nets.
So it's
and
not
like
I'm going to come. It's not Cybertron where
it's not going to like do something that like you didn't know like why it did that.
Right. You're not like all of a sudden you have like a weird batch and it's like, sir, we're testing.
Yeah.
Grow more here.
Yeah.
We've been increasing the yield just to like. I just watched the whole Fallout series, so I don't know. I don't know if you're a Fallout fan or not.
No, but I heard it's like a video game that became like a TV show.
Fallout was a whole series. But anyway, it does make sense with this.
Oh, cool. Because
in Fallout, like Fallout was a video game, but like basically it's everybody lives in a Fallout shelter for generations.
Oh.
You know, because the nukes dropped, you know. So they have this company that, you know, called Vault Tech that made the vaults. But there was also like the human error of this where it's like as the business behind selling the vaults, we're going to have test groups of people that we're going to run tests on.
Mm.
You know, so each vault's a little different, and it's like, hey, what happens if we increase the heat? What happens if we, like, poison your food? Whatever. But they had their own underground bunker growing food, you know, that sustained generations.
That's pretty cool.
So this is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's awesome. That's brilliant. But, well, all right, so back to outside. So if you had a shed, you put this thing in the shed, and you connected it to the entire thing, like how much of a grow can this handle?
Can handle quite a grow.
Okay.
I mean, what we really think about is in terms of gallons of water, like how much water do you use per day? You
right.
know? So even for like a
So it doesn't matter how big it is. It's just how like the water usage.
Yeah, I mean, because you know we have like a pump size that's even bigger. Because like you see these pumps, they can deliver like a certain amount of milliliters of solution per minute.
Okay.
And so like if you're you know need too much water prepared, then like these pumps might not be able to provide enough.
Gotcha.
Fast enough. So like we have one step up, and then that can work for pretty much any size farm.
Do you have like recommended ingredients or whatever, like the fertilizer, all right, so here's my question.
Yeah,
is it the machine or is it also the fertilizer and the nutrients and everything else that goes with it?
Yeah, so we don't like make nutrients, like okay. We work with like we try to be very like agnostic and open to like if you're using organic nutrients, if you're using liquid or powdered, we like to allow you to use
if you're
putting
rat poop in there for fertilizer versus not rat poop but like bat poop.
Yeah, bat guano.
Yeah,
you know,
guano.
People are using it. You know, like the pumps again. They are pretty good at pumping disgusting stuff.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really cool. So, all right. So anybody that's cultivating anything really.
Yeah, I would say like you know if you're running like a like especially if you're running like a business,
right?
You know, even if it's small, like
this
maybe
wouldn't really be like for like I'm starting my own garden. You know what I mean, for myself.
I mean, it just depends on how crazy you are, right? Truth. But also, you know, the thing is like, to think is like, you know, it is nice. Like this stuff isn't really that big. Like,
right.
You know, a lot of this gets mounted on the wall.
No,
you know, you probably
amazing.
Already
like,
have a tank, so it doesn't really take up that much more volume. So then it's just about like the cost, and then. You know, if you're making money and then you really value your time a lot, like if you're like, oh, I want to have a grow where I could go on vacation for 2 weeks and not have to worry about like all these different
changes,
which, you know, someone have to go there.
So
and
can
do.
You schedule it out? Like you're saying, you can schedule it out for like phases of
yeah,
a grow?
Yeah, I mean, I can, I don't
based
know.
Based on what? Like,
well,
it's like, hey, this is where it should be at this point of the grow.
Yeah. So it's hard to kind of see like this, but this is like a schedule, right? So you see like the days and then it's like, okay, like. We're on day 3. Like, these are the recipes that are currently running. When we get to day, like, 8, it's going to switch.
Dude, that's awesome. Because you already know, like, what it's going to need to jumpstart and then continue.
Yeah, because, like, when you're growing, like, say you buy nutrients, they come with a feed chart.
Right.
Right? And it's like, oh, this is what week 1, week 2, week 3. So it's already kind of, you already know what you're supposed to do. So then it's just about, like, programming that into the software. And then the machine will just do those things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Nice. So how do people find you?
You could just Neurovine.
Okay.
So Google, Instagram, website.
What kind of Instagram do you guys have?
I have like a sexy Instagram.
That's what I wanted to know. So I was like, do you have like models here? Like,
we have male models.
Male models.
Mostly, yeah.
Is it you and your business partner?
Me and my business partner,
okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys wearing bathing suits?
Yeah. We're wearing underwear underneath our pants.
Okay. Okay. I love this podcast. We get to do whatever. So it's like this is how we feed. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So Neurovine.
Yeah.
And Alex. And this
Max.
Is Mita Unshackled. And
thanks.
I want to see this thing in action. Do you guys have like videos on the website that shows like, hey, this is these are the farms that we're running on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Instagram's a good place to see pictures, videos.
Truth.
And time I got lapse like some
of
I don't have a lot. Like, I mean, that's the one, like, that's the hard thing to do. It's like, I need to be like following up with my customers and getting a lot of data. It's like that. It's like, I don't want to make that their job, you know? So I am respectful. Like I ask, sometimes people post pictures. I take them if they like posted them already, or if I go to visit someone, I'll take a picture or video. But you know,
how
most
often
people,
do you visit them?
You know, it depends if I'm in the area,
Okay. Like,
you know, some customers get more visits than others. Like I don't visit my customers in South Africa like that often, but.
So you have these machines
there,
in South Africa?
Yeah, like we just ship internationally. If someone wants to buy one, I'll give it to you because, you know, I love you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dope, dude. All right, guys. Well, this is Max Juhas and Alex. This has been another episode of Meat Unshackled. Alex, thank you so much. Go check out Neurovine because these things are fun.
They're fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. We're done.
At Neurovine, we've developed a hydroponic nutrient dosing system called the Aurora. It's advanced, easy to use, and competitively priced. The Aurora can be used in both small and large-scale facilities and works great for recirculating and drained-away systems. We've got clients saving 2 to 3 hours of labor every day and getting 15% increases in their yield. You can control the Aurora directly from your smartphone or computer so you can grow on vacation. Automation is the future of agriculture, and Neurovine is the future of automation.
Neurovine City, boy. Neuromods in it.
Loving the system, man. Loving the system. Happy customer right here. This is a stand-up machine. This is something else.
I mean, they're hungry. They eat. I don't have to come out here daily to look at my phone and make sure it's doing the right thing. I love it.
Having the level of precision from the peristaltic pumps, which can be down to the milliliter, is awesome. By having such resolution and precision, we can also push the envelope of growth, and that has really helped us.
I think the system is more modular than other products. It's also, I think, a better value in general. The software that you get in the cloud and the physical hardware, it's a really effective system.
The plants are growing huge. The system really gives it full potential.
In this business, this takes the cake. I love everything about it. I mean, hands down, I love everything about it. And the results are, you know, above and beyond what I expect, you know.
It's a pleasure to be working with you, man.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.